All rise. The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are here for our first case, 12-1985 and 13-4, State of Ohio versus James Radcliffe. For the appellant, Mr. Keeling.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor. And may it please the court, Mr. Gilbert, Mr. Walton, reserve maybe 3 minutes for rebuttal. The issue before the court is today is whether or not a trial court has the inherent authority to seal records of a pardon conviction. I represented the defendant in his last felony conviction for B&E, which is the subject of the case here today. That was back in 1981. Since that time, that was 33 years ago, he's lived a very exemplary life for him. He's done his maximized his potential. He's helped a lot of people. He's been attending church on a regular basis. He married a woman who had 4 stepchildren. She wasn't getting child support. He worked. He supported the stepchildren and one of their own. And he worked as a custodian at Dublin and rose up the ranks, and the documents attached to the record indicate that he was a excellent employee. He got awards for perfect attendance.
And for all that, he was pardoned, correct?
He was pardoned for that.
So we're working with a gubernatorial pardon, which is the feature that is important here.
Exactly. And the issue is what inherent. This court already addressed the issue in Boykin that courts aren't required to seal the record because of a pardon. The issue today is whether they have the discretion to do so. Generally, the discretion of a court to exercise its power is important. It's probably the greater issue today is the one dealing with the court's discretion to exercise its power in the interest of justice, not only in pardons, but in other manners. In my brief, I indicated there's a lot of situations where the courts have done this. They've dismissed cases in the interest of justice over the objection of prosecutors. They've suppressed evidence. And when it comes to records, they seal records in the necessary case. This court has even promulgated a rule, Superintendent's Rule 45E, that allows for judges to seal records and when the interests of justice demand it. This court has also had previous cases where they've held that the courts have inherent authority to seal records when the interest of justice demand. And Pepper Pike versus Doe, which is similar to this case in the sense that in that particular case there was statutory authority to seal convictions but not dismissals or not guilties. This court held that under the circumstances, the court had the inherent power to do that in the interest of justice because—
Would this be a substantive addition to the statute, in your view, and not an extension of the statute? May be a new category.
I don't think that the sealing statutes ever even deals with cases where there's a pardon. I don't think the legislature even—
That's my point. One would be, as you argue, an extension of the authority to seal a conviction, but what about sealing an acquittal? And so the court can sort of, under the umbrella of the ability to seal a conviction, make a decision that says, well, you can seal an acquittal. But it seems to me that a gubernatorial pardon is a whole new category.
Sure.
And doesn't that belong to the province of the General Assembly?
Your Honor, I do not think that the General Assembly could deal with regulating the pardon process after the governor has issued a pardon.
Okay, I don't mean to imply that. What I mean to imply is, shouldn't the General Assembly consider whether or not the record of a pardoned conviction should be sealed?
They could say it could be sealed, but I don't think that they have the power to say that it could not be. And the reason for that is under Article 3, Section 11, and as this court recognized in Boykin and other cases, the legislature can only regulate the manner for applying for pardons. Once the, and this court in State X. Rel. Maurer said that once the governor grants a pardon, the legislative power to regulate anything is gone. And the reason is simple. It's the governor who has the pardon to power. If the legislature has the power to legislate the effects of the pardon, then the old adage, the power to regulate is power to destroy. The legislature could effectively say, well, we're not going to give effect to the pardons.
Does the General Assembly have the authority to say which records should be sealed and which records should not be sealed?
Well, the Article 3, Section 11 gave them only the power to regulate the manner of applying. It didn't give them the power to regulate the consequences of a pardon.
So, counsel, if the General Assembly had decides, if the General Assembly would decide that after a pardon, the court may, in fact, seal the record, you would be arguing that the General Assembly had no power to do this?
No, they could not interfere with the governor's pardon process.
But the idea of sealing the records after the pardon, isn't that what we're talking about here?
That's an act in furtherance of the governor's power, not a limitation on it.
So you say sealing is a way of saying the pardon is affected, and not allowing sealing is a...
The legislature would decide we need a statute to enable records to be sealed. That would be in furtherance. It wouldn't be in hindrance of the governor's power, and that's all the difference. It's the same as even a judicial, you know, an order saying you can't seal the records. That could, in a sense, it would render, you know, a judicial, if this court says there's no discretion, you just can't do it. That would be a substantial limitation on the governor's right to power.
What happens after a governor's pardon? The governor pardons someone. What more does the governor have to do with that individual?
The person has the pardon. It gets filed in the Court of Common Pleas, where the...
It's part of the record.
Part of the record.
There's a pardon on file. Okay.
And now, what we didn't know, and we had a situation, State versus Cope, where the court thought, well, why even do you have to seal these records? Doesn't a pardon automatically do that? And there haven't been a lot of cases on this. We got Cope and we have Boykin with dealing with the pardon. And the court then saw, well, why even do you need to seal? Isn't the pardon enough to say, it's self-executing to seal a record, but since this court in Boykin...
Wait a minute. It's not self-executing.
Not now.
The executive branch cannot impose a procedural dictate on the judicial branch. The executive cannot, by virtue of a pardon, impose on the judicial branch, you will now seal all of your records as a consequence of this pardon.
Right. And that's what this court dealt with for the first time in Boykin. So before this decision in Boykin, there was, and even in Boykin, the court recognized there were a lot of unanswered questions of just what the effect of a pardon is. Does a pardon obliterate guilt? Judge Painter, when he wrote the decision in Cope, thought that it did, relying upon an old case in this court, State X. Rel. Gordon, that said that it puts a person back as if the crime had never been committed. This court in Boykin said no. This court said that a pardon doesn't erase the underlying conviction. So next step is this, and that's what we're here for today, is can a pardon work to give the defendant authority and give the court the inherent authority to seal the records.
Wait a minute. A pardon doesn't give the court inherent authority. Either the court has the authority or it doesn't. There's no delegation or imposition of authority by the governor on the court.
Exactly. But that's the issue is whether the courts have the inherent authority in the furtherance of the pardon to seal the records.
In light of the absence of statutory addressing of, of this
and
question.
Courts do that oftentimes in the interest of justice, even when the statutes say you can't. The example I gave in the brief would be a situation where a person is erroneously arrested and charged with murder. And during the course of investigation, they find out facts that conclusively prove that he couldn't did it. Matter of fact, arrest somebody else. Under the law, he would have to wait 2 years to get that expunged, sealed. If the parties approached the court and said, Your Honor, this is a big mistake. We want to seal this. We don't want to have him to live under the embarrassment for 2 years of a murder charge on his record, the public humiliation, embarrassment, employment hindrance, the court could seal it, even though the statute directly says you're supposed to wait 2 years. This would be in a circumstances where they can. It's the same with
counsel. Does a pardon restore one to the full rights of citizenship automatically, or does that take court action?
Yes, it relieves all the disabilities of the conviction by statute.
So one can vote without having to get a court order?
In Ohio, one can vote after they serve their prison sentence.
Right.
Defendant's been able to vote for the last 30-some years.
But here we're talking about the judicial records. We're not talking about the consequences of the pardon. We're talking about something totally separate with this branch of government, correct?
Yes.
And does the case of Boykin help or hurt you?
Well, I think that it helps because in Boykin, this court just says we're not, which you should, because the inherent power of the court should be jealously guarded. Because if you don't have the inherent power to do justice, what's the result? Injustice. And nobody wants that. Is there an injustice in this case? We hope so. Because, throughout these proceedings, the state maintains an interest in keeping these records, but they've never articulated one reason and one use they've had of these records in the last 33 years.
Would you agree that in Boykin we said that there's no right to the sealing based on the pardon,
there,
that you are arguing now that it's the discretion of the judge to allow sealing after the pardon?
But
is that how you would read Boykin?
In Boykin, you said at paragraph 35, although the sealing of a criminal record may complement a pardon. That seems to me saying that, at least in that opinion, you agreed that a pardon could be granted by the trial.
But it's not an automatic
right. But it's not an automatic right. No, we're not here relitigating Boykin. We're just saying that was the issue. I mean, there were, as the prosecutor said in his brief, there was, three issues before Boykin. One whether a pardon means automatic sealing of the records. This court said no in Boykin. We're here today to determine whether or not the courts have that discretion to, or they have no discretion. And I am going to argue in favor of discretion, and I think this court should too, because when you give up power to the court to act in the interest of justice, is again, we're not going to have the system that we want.
Counsel, let me ask you a question, though, that I'm reading right now from the Cope case, where the Court of Appeals suggested that the pardon puts the person in the standpoint in the same condition as if the crime had never been committed. That's not true, is it?
Well, that's what Cope in that case was quoting this court's decision, the state ex rel Gordon. That's what this court said in 1940. So, I mean, the court was relying upon.
I mean, even if I were to accept the logic of Pepper Pike, which I think I do, this is an unusual situation, but I'm having difficulty, maybe you can help me with, does a pardon make you in the same position as if the crime had not been committed?
No, I mean, you know,
it
conduct is conduct. It's there. And sealing the record doesn't remove all traces of it. It's still there and available the way the trial judge did in this time.
Particularly in this computer age.
It would still be there for law enforcement, for prosecutors, for judges, and future, if he ever got in trouble again, they could use this past conduct for sentencing. They could use it for other purposes. It's the same situation as just the
same. So are you saying in order for us to support your position, we do not have to adopt the legal fiction that the crime did not happen?
No. Well, only thing you have to do is say, we have a pardon. Do we have the inherent authority to seal the records in furtherance of a constitutional right that has been bestowed upon my client by the people of the Ohio? It's a paramount right. It's a constitutional right.
Wait, stop there. What's a constitutional right?
The pardon is a right. You'd apply for a pardon, exist in the Constitution. When the governor grants it, it's from the power given to him in the Constitution.
But it's not a constitutional right of the defendant.
No, it's not the constitutional right to have a pardon, but it's a constitutional right that exists.
Counsel, we have to be very careful with our language here. It is not a constitutional right to have a pardon.
No. But okay. The right to pardon is in the Constitution.
So it's a constitutional remedy is what you're saying. It's a remedy that is provided for in the Constitution.
Right. And this court in State X. Rel. Maurer said, and it quoted Alexander Hamilton in a Federalist Paper number 74, and it said the benign prerogative of pardoning should be as little as possible fettered or embarrassed. Without the pardon process, justice would wear a countenance not too sanguinary and cruel. So what we have a situation, if we don't have the sealing of records, we don't have any use. The pardon process is provided in the Constitution in this context is meaningless.
What does the granting of the sealing of the record do for your client? If we would say, for example, that this record can be sealed, how does that benefit your client since he's already been pardoned for this offense?
Well, it benefits him because the record is available only to limited people and only for limited employment purposes. If you're going to get in a sensitive job working.
When you talk about employment, the fact that the convictions have been pardoned can be evidence to an employer, can it not? As can the age of the offenses. Someone would know that, as you started out in the beginning of your presentation, this happened a couple of decades ago.
Yeah, but it's a public record, and it's a person who has lived.
Is not the pardon
life
a public record?
The what?
Isn't the pardon?
Pardon can, if you know where to look, you can find the records of the pardon. But most people aren't interested in that. But if you get a record, all things being equal in this world, if you have 10 candidates, the fact that this person even has a record that old can.
But he doesn't have to disclose it if he's been pardoned on an employment application.
That makes it even worse, because then they go and check and it shows that he has all these convictions. They say,
okay, but it also shows the pardon. It also shows the pardon.
Well, if you seal it, if it's sealed, then you're allowed as a matter of course to say you have no convictions. And if they go to check, then they won't find any convictions. And all the commercial reporting agencies will, if they are notified, they will take them out of their system because of the.
And you're talking about everything from the indictment through the conviction through the pardon itself. All of those would be sealed.
Yes. I've used up my time, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gilbert.
Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court. I'd like to pick up where you left off with Mr. Keeling's argument and talk about about the pardon being information that someone can use to assess the pardon recipient's character. It seems to me that the solution to the problem that Mr. Radcliffe faces is solved by more information, not less. The solution is to make more people aware of the pardon, not to deprive people of information about the conviction. That way, employers and landlords and other members of the public, they can make an informed decision about what they feel is more important to them, the pardon.
Well,
or the conviction.
Let's ask, what's the purpose of having these convictions known because they're not sealed? What purpose does that serve in light of a pardon?
What purpose does making the convictions public in light of the pardon? Well, for one, Your Honor, the public has a right to know about Mr. Radcliffe's criminal history, and it is relevant to these people. The very reason why we're here is because Mr. Radcliffe knows that employers do care about his conviction, and landlords do care about his criminal past. Making these records public also serves the purpose of informing the public about our criminal justice
system. But, counsel, don't we have a problem here? There's three branches of government. I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. But at some point, the Constitution says the governor has a right to say, enough. I'm going to pardon this person as if this didn't happen. That's what I'm going to say. And in order to adopt your position, this court must take the back seat to the Ohio General Assembly and say, well, yes, but we won't let that actually have effectiveness until the General Assembly agrees with the governor. What do you say, therefore, to those who say, Pepper Pike, this court said, we have an inherent authority in an unusual circumstance, and you will agree this is an unusual circumstance to have a governor's pardon, right?
Your Honor, I respond by saying the inherent authority referenced in Pepper Pike.
I was giving you an easy yes there. Is it unusual to have a governor's pardon?
I guess in terms of numbers, sure, it's unusual, but it's not the type of unusual circumstance that would justify invoking a judge invoking inherent authority to seal records.
So are you saying the courts, therefore, must wait for the General Assembly to say it's okay?
Yes, Your Honor, I am saying that. And Chief Justice O'Connor, you pointed out that the judiciary does not have the right to impose on the executive branch earlier this morning.
The other way around. The executive branch doesn't have the right to impose on the judiciary.
Point taken. I want to take that one step further. Neither does the executive branch have the right to impose on the General Assembly. The General Assembly has weighed the competing interests in keeping records public. They've weighed the public's right to know about our government and the public's right to know about people who are convicted of crimes. They've weighed the government's right to maintain internal records. They've weighed all those competing interests, and they've decided that there are certain standards that have to be met for records to be sealed. And it's not the governor's job to override that legislative policy judgment and give judges inherent authority to...
But, counsel, you see my problem there, don't you? The governor is saying to the courts, this is over, and don't the courts have the right to say, okay, it's over? What gives the Ohio General Assembly the right to say, no, it's not?
Because pardons and sealing records are separate forms of relief. They give separate remedies. They involve separate branches of government.
Are they judicial records?
Pardon me?
Are they judicial records?
A sealing of records involves much more than just judicial records. It involves court records that are public, that involve public records. It involves records that aren't public but are held internally.
I'm just trying to get
agencies.
You and me down to basics here today. Are they judicial records?
Some records that were affected
by... The ones we're talking about today.
Well, we're talking about much more than judicial records today, Your Honor. Mr. Radcliffe filed an application specifically invoking the statute, 2953-52. That statute involves sealing much more than just judicial records. It involves sealing government records as well.
I'm sorry. I thought he went into court and he said, I have a governor's pardon. I'd like my judicial records sealed.
He did not ask for judicial records sealed, Your Honor. He asked for all the statutory remedies that come with an order sealing records, and that involves much more than just judicial records. It involves government records as well. So you would have a judge, despite a statute directly prohibiting from doing so, a judge signing an order sealing records, and that means that police agencies, prosecutor's offices, and any other agency or public office that has any record that is connected to this criminal case, that judge is ordering them how to maintain that record, how to label the record, what the records can be used for, and that to me is raising up separation of powers flags all over the place. So
is your
Go ahead, Jess.
That leads to the question, are you suggesting that the court would have inherent authority to seal judicial records, case records?
Not when the statute directly prohibits them from doing so.
What part of the statute prohibits the court from sealing a record, a case record of a pardon?
2953.32 says that for in order to seal records, the applicant must be an eligible offender or a first offender in the case of Mr. Radcliffe. If you're not an eligible offender or a first offender, then you are not eligible to seal records.
You're saying a pardon does not make someone an eligible offender, in
right.
your view.
Justice O'Donnell, you talked about are we adding to the statute? We are. If you agree with Mr. Radcliffe's position, you are absolutely adding language to the statute. You are adding a pardon exception to the eligible offender requirement or the first offender requirement. The General Assembly has weighed these interests.
Your objection is because there are multiple convictions. And had there only been one, would you agree that this record could be sealed per statute?
Well, sure. If he qualified as a first offender.
So your objection is a statutory one.
Absolutely.
That there are multiple offenses, and as a result, Mr. Radcliffe doesn't statutorily qualify for the sealing of a record.
Right.
But had the General Assembly put in an additional category of all pardoned offenses may be sealed.
Sure.
You believe it's a legislative province.
Sure. The General
Assembly. Let me ask you this question. What is the state's interest in having a pardoned conviction available to the public? It can't be used to enhance another crime, can it?
I think it could.
You think a pardoned offense could be an enhancement to a subsequent offense?
I'm not sure if that question has been answered, Your Honor, but I know a sealed conviction can be used to enhance another offense.
Now, this isn't sealed. This is a pardon.
Sure, sure.
The governor says this offense is as if it had not occurred.
Sure. Well, that's not exactly what the governor did. This court in Boykin said that the pardon does not erase the fact of conviction. Mr. Radcliffe stands right now as a convicted felon. The convictions are still there. All a pardon does is it's a remission of penalties, and it relieves the recipient of all disabilities. It doesn't erase past conduct. It doesn't erase the conviction. It doesn't restore his character or his morality or anything
like that. When you say erase disabilities, what do you mean by that?
The statutes talk about restoring your right to be an elector, restoring your right to be a juror, restoring certain circumstances say that you might be able to get your right to carry a weapon restored to you. And to touch on a point earlier, the General Assembly knows how to regulate pardons.
It the state's position that a pardoned conviction can be used as an enhancement in a subsequent offense?
I would say yes. After Boykin, I would say yes. Boykin says the pardon does not
because
erase. Because of Boykin. It wasn't entirely clear before Boykin, but after Boykin, a pardon does not erase the fact of conviction. So I would say, just to come first full circle and answer your question, Your Honor, yes, a pardon does not prevent the state from using that conviction in another proceeding.
And you're saying that the idea of having a record that is unsealed is not considered a disability per statute?
It's not a disability, Your Honor.
So that if the governor pardons and erases the consequences of the conviction, as we said in Boykin, the consequences, you're saying that the fact that the record exists is not really a consequence of the conviction?
No, that would not be a legal disability arising from the conviction. Think of it this way. It would be kind of strange because one of the effects of a sealing of records is to remove disabilities. And so it seems kind of backwards to say that having a record is a disability when the very point of removing the record is to remove disabilities. The record itself is not a disability. It's other disabilities that the sealing is supposed to affect.
And getting back to your first point, you said that the fact of the pardon itself is part of the case record and makes it clear what has happened in this case.
Right. I mean, one thing that the General Assembly has decided is that they want as many people as possible to know about a pardon. Pardon records are all over the place. After a governor issues a pardon, the governor is required by the Constitution to send a record of the pardon to the General Assembly. The governor is required by statute to keep a record of the pardon in his own office. The pardon has to be filed with the clerk's office. It also has to be filed with the Department of Rehabilitations and Corrections if there was a prison term. The General Assembly has made a choice that we want more people aware of the pardon, not to deprive people of information about the conviction.
So you're saying because of the statutory requirements on the the dissemination of the information about the pardon, that indicates that the General Assembly considered presumably other options, such as nullifying the conviction to the point where the record is sealed, and that hasn't been incorporated into any statutory language.
Right. The General Assembly knows how to incorporate pardons into their statutes. There are all sorts of sections in 2967 and Chapter 2961 that talk about pardons having certain legal effects. There's even a statute, 2961.03, that says a pardon can restore someone's license to be a secondhand junk dealer. If the General Assembly wants the pardon to have an effect, they know how to do it. If they wanted a pardon to be an exception to the eligible offender requirement or the first offender requirement, nothing is stopping them from doing that.
But you're saying this is purely an act for the legislature to take into consideration, and if they desire to do so, they will pass legislation that will allow for this pardon to have the effect that the appellant wishes it to have.
Sure. If the General Assembly passes a statute tomorrow that says that the convictions that are pardoned are not to be considered for purposes of the eligible offender requirement or the first offender requirement, then that's the statutory scheme that we would be operating under.
Do we therefore have to overrule Pepper Pike this morning?
No, you do not have to overrule Pepper Pike. Pepper Pike said that courts have inherent authority to seal records when there's an absence of a statute governing the case.
Okay, we'll stop there for a second because I'm reading the last paragraph of Boykin. Boykin is saying it's not automatic. And I think you and I are finally agreeing there's an inherent right of a court to seal a record, even if the statute doesn't permit it.
I don't agree with that, Your Honor. There's inherent.
That's what Pepper Pike says.
Pepper Pike says there's inherent authority to seal a record when there's no statute governing the sealing. When there's a statute directly on point that prohibits sealing, then I don't think Pepper Pike would give inherent authority for a court to ignore the statute.
And you think the statutes of Ohio prohibit sealing?
In this case, there is a statute that prohibits sealing because the statute says you have to be a first offender to even get your foot in the door to request the sealing of records. Mr. Ratcliffe is not a first offender. He doesn't even get his foot in the door. As a matter of law, he is ineligible to have his record sealed. What we're asking the court to do today is not overrule Pepper Pike. Pepper Pike can still be good law when you're dealing with situations not involving any statutory scheme at all, like in Schusheim. What we're asking the court to do today is recognize that Pepper Pike has been superseded by statute, so to speak. Pepper Pike had relevance when there was no statute governing sealing acquittals and dismissals. We have a statute now that governs that situation. And so it's kind of an ironic evolution of Pepper Pike because...
And what statute therefore covers governor's pardons? What statute covers that?
The statute that prohibits Mr. Ratcliffe from sealing his record is 2953.32. You have to be an eligible offender or a first offender to even get your foot in the door.
And a pardon doesn't make him an eligible offender under 2953.32.
So in another case, when a governor grants a pardon and the individual has only had one offense, you wouldn't have a position and that record could be sealed pursuant to statute.
The pardon does not enter into the equation at all. You have to look at the conviction, pardoned or not. And how many convictions does he have? And if he satisfies the eligible offender requirement or the first offender requirement, then he can get his foot in the door.
So that's your argument today.
My argument
pardon doesn't enter into this at all. We only look to see how many offenses the individual has had in his lifetime or her lifetime.
Right.
And if they qualify pursuant to statute, the record may be sealed, pardoned or not.
When there's an absence of a statute governing the situation one way or another, we can look to Pepper Pike. When there's a statute on point that directly prohibits sealing, courts do not have an inherent authority to disregard the General Assembly and to do what
your argument is independent of the action of Governor Strickland in granting a pardon.
Right. My argument is that the General Assembly has chosen not to make pardons a factor in the sealing analysis. If they do tomorrow, then we can have a different discussion. Then Judge Sarrett can exercise his discretion. But because pardons are not part of the statutory scheme and the statute directly prohibits the sealing, Judge Sterritt did not have inherent authority to disregard the statute. The judgment should be affirmed. Thank you.
Counsel, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds.
State maintains that the statute prohibits the sealing of a pardon conviction in this case when there's more than two convictions. I take issue with that. The statute really never dealt with the fact of what do you do with pardon convictions. And in that sense, it's much like this case was back in Pepper Pike. The statute didn't deal with it. I don't think the legislature was considering what do you do.
But they did delineate who's eligible for a sealing, and they went through several qualifications that a individual must possess in order to be able to petition for a sealing of the record, and a pardon isn't one of them.
If that scheme, this court in State X. Rel. Maurer said that the General Assembly's constitutional authority to regulate pardon application process extends to time just before the governor reaches a substantive decision concerning the pardon. Once this point is reached, the General Assembly's constitutionally granted authority to regulate procedurally pardon power of the governor is at an end.
And it's not, this is not before the governor. That's what you're talking about, the General Assembly being able to regulate the process that the governor would employ in order to pardon an individual. And this is, we're talking about the subsequent to a pardon. This was after the governor makes a decision, after the pardon is issued. And the General Assembly is not, you know, part of, there's no protocol subsequent to it other than the requirement that that pardon be registered at certain in certain agencies and government offices for notice.
Well, if the legislature would say we're going to pass legislation to make sure a pardon has no real legal effect in Ohio, would that be okay, or would that be an obtrusion?
Well, that's a different question. We're not here for that because we're not saying the pardon has no legal effect.
Every effect of
the pardon is granted to your client. He's just not eligible under the sealing statute.
Well, not
your
under
best
that.
Argument
it's
is
the ju- it's
that
the it's,
pardon has eliminated the conviction, isn't it?
It has. This court has already, that was my argument until this court said that it didn't in Boykin.
And so your argument was
our argument
that there was no conviction because the governor pardoned them.
This court has the inherent authority in the interest of justice to seal records.
Right.
It has the inherent authority in many instances to seal records, even when statutes say otherwise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the matter under advisement, gentlemen, and you'll be notified of our decision. Thank you.